This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our guest is the new chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS, Colton Buckley from Texas. The chief of the NRCS will join us in just a moment. First off, year-round E15, spearheaded by Iowa Representative Randy Feenstra.
E15 is not a mandate. It's just an opportunity that allows states to sell it year-round. It allows retailers to decide if they want to sell it. In Iowa, 50% of our retailers currently sell it. This just creates an opportunity for that certainty that the retailers wanted to have, that they're certain to sell it 12 months out of the year. And that's why, from all states, I believe that there's going to be a great movement forward to selling this product and helping our producers and creating more domestic energy.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the 19th Chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service, Colton Buckley. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. For those who don't know you, kind of the elevator speech, if you will, for who Colton Buckley is. And did it all start on a farm or ranch?
It did. I grew up on my grandparents' cow-calf operation in between Evant and Gatesville, Texas. Grew up rotational grazing, cross-fencing, supporting my granddaddy's work there. Have a bachelor's degree in agricultural services and development from Tarleton State University, one of the finest ag schools in the state. And then dived into ag and conservation policy over the last year. I was one of the first presidential appointees in the FPAC, Missionary of Farm Production and Conservation, here at USDA, was the chief of staff to NRCS for 6 months or so, and then was elevated to the associate chief for the chief operating officer role. And within the last week, the president, Secretary Rollins here at USDA, and Undersecretary Fordyce made me the chief. So it's an honor to be the youngest chief in the agency's history, to be the second chief from Texas, and to be somebody that's kind of served in all three of the presidentially appointed leadership positions here at NRCS to focus on putting the American farmer, rancher, private landowner first. And my kind of internal motto is keeping American working lands in American working hands. And anything we can do here at the agency, we're saddled up and ready to ride to support American production agriculture.
Well, congratulations. And speaking of congratulations, I guess congratulations as we make some new announcements here. NRCS announcing some money here for the Conservation Innovation Grants Program. What can you tell us?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So this week we're excited to announce $65 million in the SIG program, Conservation Innovation Grant. We're going to have $50 million on SIG on-farm trials. So this is work directly with producers and partners to build out conservation implementation and kind of the next generation of tools to support American agriculturalists, as well as $15 million for SIG classics. And since 2004, the agency has awarded over 2,000 projects, investing more than $600 million. Some of the recent project highlights include things like water quality improvements and drainage financing tools, mobile drip irrigation innovations, particularly in Kansas, cooperative nutrient management models in California, paddock track grazing measurement technology. And these projects contribute to NRCS practice standards, new conservation technologies, and measurable conservation improvements.
Okay. Now, if I understand this right, that national program really has two parts to it. And you mentioned there the conservation innovation grants, but is it conservation innovation trials and maybe classic as well?
So it's a two-part program, yes, sir. So there's classic, which is the priorities this fiscal year are going to be water management, water quality, soil habitat improvement. And then there's actual on-farm trials for irrigation, water management, and technology, grazing land, soil health demonstration. So SIG is a program here at the agency that does kind of the research science implementation out of the classic. We're looking at trade schools, technical universities, land grants, nonprofits, pretty much it's open to everyone except for foreign entities and governments to apply. And then on-farm trials are actual demonstrations on landowners' private property to support these new technologies and tools in conservation.
Okay, and I know you touched on this, but the priorities, again, for the on-farm trials, what are we looking for there?
So we're looking for things to support irrigation water management as we go through a rough drought throughout the country and have for a couple years now, in support of nutrient management and grazing lands to support the regenerative efforts that producers across the country are coming to the table to re-engage with, as well as soil health demonstration.
And let's see, on the classic side, I picked up their water management, a big part of that as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As well as conserving ecosystems by managing pest pressure, support for healthy soil and habitat improvement, and then general farmer-focused conservation outcomes.
You know, some might be wondering, you know, why invest in this, in these programs? You know, maybe let somebody else invest in it. Is it really because USDA is trying to invest maybe in the future here?
That's correct. Yes, sir. I mean, when we look at the average age of a farmer rancher in the nation, and over the next 15 years, we'll have the largest land transfer with a lot of new and beginning farmers or folks like me one day going back to take over the family place. We've got to make sure that the toolbox here at NRCS with our conservation practice standards are best up to date for direct producer implementation. And the way we do that in the early adoption system and developing these technologies to make sure that while it's science and data driven, it applies well on the landscape is through a conservation innovation grant.
Okay. And I guess if this has piqued our interest a little bit, and this announcement, do we apply for this? And if so, do we have a deadline? How do we do that?
Yes, sir. The deadline is going to be, it's coming out this week, both for SIG Classic, SIG On-Farm Trials, and they'll be on grants.gov through July 27th of 2026.
Okay. And again, when we step back and just look, this is just one part of what's happening with NRCS here. Looking into the crystal ball now, and I know it's been just days or a week or so since you've been there, but when you look at the crystal ball of what's coming down the road and what you're most excited about within NRCS, what do you see?
The main focus we have here is keeping American working lands and American working hands. And what does that mean? This nation loses 5,000 acres a day in the continental United States of productive farmland, 1,200 roughly in Texas a day. Nationwide, 2,000 of that 5,000 is prime farmland. We've got to be able to build tools to keep working lands in working hands through the conservation easement program, through streamlining conservation practice standards. And so any individual who's a private landowner, farmer, rancher, private forester, what have you, that crosses into the threshold of an NRCS, a local county, parish, or territory office, receives complimentary service and technical assistance, as well as the ability for programmatic assistance to support their operation and their bottom dollar, to champion national security efforts. Food security is national security, as we all know, to champion rural economies and to make sure that we build the next generation of American agriculturalists and American conservationists hand in hand.
Well, again, congratulations. Thanks for your time. Come back and see us soon, will you?
All right. Yes, sir. Happy to.
Again, it's the 19th chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS, Colton Buckley. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
The Agribusiness Report. Undersecretary for Trade at USDA is Luke Lindberg, describing how important the private-public partnerships are.
It's critical. In fact, I think the one thing that differentiates much of U.S. agriculture from a lot of the rest of the world is that our decisions, our strategy is really farmer-driven. All of these organizations we work with, like the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council and the U.S. Meat Export Federation and the U.S. Dairy Export Council, these are all driven by their farmer board members who are helping us to tell the story of why their products are the highest quality, most reliable, most nutritious products in the world. And they show up with us. So when I was down in Guatemala, leading one of our rapid response Trump missions there on the heels of the president signing a historic agreement there, we had a whole cast of characters with us, and it wasn't just the folks working at the associations. It was real farmers stepping up to say, hey, I want to go represent my industry and get down into this market where we have new access and make sure we are turning these trade agreements into real sales. The slogan we're using in the Foreign Ag Service in 2026 is turning market access into market share, and a big part of that is working with these groups.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Luke Lindberg is Undersecretary for Trade at USDA.
Well, the big part of the job is making sure that our agricultural producers, the farmers and ranchers all around the country, are winning on the global playing field. And part of my responsibility is absolutely being their advocate in getting to markets all around the world, opening them up and getting them wins.
And was on a recent tour through the Midwest.
That's exactly right. In fact, when I was getting confirmed as undersecretary, the number one thing I heard from farmers and ranchers all around the country was, we want more market access. And we're giving it to them. The reality is the president has signed 9 new trade agreements, plus 9 framework agreements that are in process to becoming trade agreements. And what that represents is more than 50% of the mouths and more than 50% of the GDP around the world. And how do we know that we're winning in that situation? Well, if you actually look at the trade deficit, you know, we've always had an agricultural trade surplus, which means our farmers and ranchers have sold more overseas than we've imported, which to me means we're winning. And unfortunately, this time last year, well, in January last year, when the president was inaugurated, we were looking at a $50 billion trade deficit. Now, in the first 3 months of this year, this calendar year, we have reduced the deficit in those 3 months by 60%. And we're forecasting over the year a 42% reduction in that trade deficit number. And that doesn't even take into account some of these additional trade agreements that are still in the framework stage. So we're optimistic about where this is headed. our farmers and ranchers deserve market access, and we're giving it to them.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Brad Rippey with USDA.
Planting pace, which is now 68%, would be the average for May 24th. This year, we have achieved a soybean planting pace of 79% complete. A lot of that due to some of that really quick early planting in the South, where everything's pretty much wrapped up, and we are now seeing that faster pace moving into the northern Corn Belt. And just like corn, we saw at least 20 percentage points planted during the week in Michigan, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. So looking at those states in particular where we made a big progress in the last week, Wisconsin, now 75% of the soybeans planted. That is ahead of the five-year average of 71%. Michigan jumping 27 percentage points to 64% planted, almost catching up to their five-year average of 65%. And then finally, North Dakota making a nice jump from 41 to 63% planted, and that takes North Dakota well ahead of its five-year average of 45%.
It's the Agribusiness Report.